you just start stacking those skills. You learn one, you practice it, you start learning another, you practice it, start stacking all these skills. You know, before you know it, you know how to do quite a few things.
Before you know it, you're a full stack developer in real life.
Welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, where we discuss the journey to real liberty through self-sufficiency, counter-economics, non-aggression, and the agora.
The Outpost represents the border between societal norm and the pioneer spirit. Every episode contains practical, philosophical, and technical information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. I am your host, Regina, and I am here with my co-host, Cyrus.
Hello.
And today we are talking about pioneer skills.
Right.
Pioneer skills. It's one of my favorite topics. But before we go into that, did you see the big Black Friday sale on Bitcoin and Ethereum? Holy crap.
Yeah. Kind of a dip there, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was a little bit more of a dip.
Was it like 17% or?
Yeah, it went down to probably, it lost 20%, both Bitcoin and Ethereum, pretty much overnight. It was a flash crash Black Friday sale on cryptocurrency. It was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, basically what caused it, which I think is totally ridiculous, is that some really big whales moved a ton of Bitcoin onto the exchanges, which was probably a preemptive move to sell off Bitcoins at all-time high. So Bitcoin's all-time high was about 20K. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's ATH was about 20K. It got up to about 18.5. The whales moved the coins on the market onto the exchange, and then everyone like panicked and dumped their Bitcoin. Uh-huh. It's just crazy. So then it made a nice sweet deal for anyone wanting to buy in. Like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. You wake up on the day after Thanksgiving and it's lost 20% of its value. There was some heavy dips too. Like there was some heavy, heavy dips.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't get any, but that's awesome.
I did. I bought some Ethereum. I got in a little too early. I bought like four Ethereum at $530, because at that point that looked like a great deal. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up the next day and it had dips all the way down to 470. I'm like, holy moly. Yeah, I got in a little bit early on that flash crash, but I still feel good at what I bought it at. I'm really not worried.
Yeah, and you can't beat yourself up over that, because like you've said before, nobody knows anyway how low the dip's going or how high the, you know, it's, you don't know.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to sell at the top and buy at the bottom. Well, it doesn't quite work out that way. And at the time, I'm like, well, you know, 530 looks pretty good to me, coming off of like 605, 610.
Right.
But then it proceeded to go even lower. Now it's bounced back up. And then I know that there was a nice little Black Friday sale on gold and silver as well. So it's been interesting. The markets have been really fun over the Thanksgiving break, that's for sure. So yeah, pioneer skills. I'm in a food coma today. I'm in a turkey coma, so hopefully we can make it through.
Right. Yeah, so we're recording this on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, and I made a 22-pound turkey. And you've been
grazing turkey all week.
22 freaking pound turkey. All the little turkeys were gone. I actually wanted to just get a small one, but I guess the trend this year was to get a little turkey because people were having less guests over. So when I went to the store, there was just these big honking birds left. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm getting a big old honking turkey this year. And my mom and I have been grazing on it for like 5 days straight. I've probably eaten 10 pounds of turkey over 5 days. It's insane. So I'm having like this major like tryptophan days. I'm like a turkey zombie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're gonna make it through. I got this.
Yeah, so pioneer skills.
What are pioneer skills?
Well, I mean, those are the skills that the pioneers used. It's pretty simple that, you know, you pack up the belongings you have. You start moving west to the wilderness and you find a piece of land that's raw, and now you've got to build something there. And people left towns and villages, and when they got to where they were going, there was nothing. So there was no general store to go buy your flour or your tools or buckets or anything that you needed. So you took what you could, and when you got there, you had to make everything else and, you know, prepare everything to start building a homestead. And those...
Right.
So you had to be the jack of all trades.
Wow.
You know?
I love it.
The men and the women.
I love this whole concept of pioneer skills. I've always been kind of, like, obsessed with it throughout my life. Mm-hmm. Old-timer skills, lost skills. It comes in all sorts of different, you know, packages of what people refer right. to it as. But, yeah. It's very interesting, you know, to think that these whole families would travel for hundreds of miles in a covered carriage. And, I mean, just traveling in a horse-drawn carriage back then with no roads, mm-hmm. you're just bumping through the forest or the desert or wherever you are, not even knowing where you're going.
Yeah, and it took weeks and sometimes months.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, just the skills that you would need just to make the trip, most people don't have today.
Oh,
forget
no
all
way.
The skills you need when you get there.
Yeah, you're just in this covered wagon. And, you know, it reminds me of the Oregon Trail. I don't know if you played that in school. It was my favorite game. It's actually probably what turned me on to the whole pioneer skills thing.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a game called the Oregon Trail.
Oh my goodness. It came on a floppy disk, and you're on this horse-covered wagon with your family, and little Jane's getting dysentery, and you're shooting rabbits and trying to feed your family, and then you have to ford the river. That's like your final level, is to ford the river, and half the time your wagon gets swept away and everyone dies, and it was really great.
Child's game, yeah.
Oh yeah, I loved it. It was my absolute favorite game that I played in, you know, grade school. The Oregon Trail.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had pioneer days at school, but there would be like 2 or 3 days where we spent most of the days outside, and it was all about pioneer living, and they would have people come in with authentic horse-drawn carriages, and it was pretty cool. Mm. They did it every year when I was in grade school.
There's just something so romantic about the pioneer days in the Old West that I have, like, this enchantment with, but it's all very difficult when you put it to actual use, but it's super important to know how to survive, and not right. with a bunch of stuff you pack in a bug-out bag and all these fancy contraptions we have.
You know, when you're making your plans, whether you're making a prepping plan or a bug-out plan or a homesteading plan or off-grid plan, you got to think about which skills you want to try and learn and which ones you're not going to try and learn, or at least which ones you're going to try and learn first, because you can't learn them all at once. The skills just, they require so much practice, you know, so you got to think about the plan that you're making and which skill sets would be most useful in that plan. Because if you're going to build an off-grid homestead, like my wife and I have done, you're going to need different skill sets than if you're going to, say, buy a homestead that is already set up with solar and power and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're just making a prepping plan and you live in the city, those skills are going to be different than if you live in the country. And so you just got to think about them.
Well, the pioneer skills are your long-term survival skills. So you'll have your set of short-term survival. So, for example, if SHTF and you're in an urban environment and you're bugging out and you have your pre-made bug-out bag and everything's all set up for you, now you get to your location and now you have to survive long-term. This is where your pioneer skills are going to kick in. Because all of your supplies, especially if you're running on a 72 bug out bag, 72 hour, What are you going to do after 72 hours?
Yeah, if you end up in a situation where you've got to stay where you are for long term, you've got to have some hunting skills and, you know, trapping skills, and you got to know how to field dress and butcher your kills. Or,
exactly,
you know, for the vegetarian, you got to get really good at foraging.
Yep. And that's totally doable. You can be a vegetarian forager.
Sure.
I remember watching an episode of Naked and Afraid, and there was a gal who was a vegetarian, and she was with a hardcore meat eater, and he gave her shit the whole time over the, I forget, I think they put him in the woods for, what, 21 days? He gave her shit the whole time. He's the one who ended up tapping out early. She made it all the way to the end,
being
a vegetarian, and she made a trap. She made a trap to catch her buddy, a hog, and at the very last day, she caught a baby hog in her trap, and she let it go because he was gone.
He had already tapped out, yeah.
Yeah, he already tapped out. She's like, there's no need for me to butcher this hog. It's the last day, and she was going on her leaves or whatever the heck she was eating, but it's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to prepare for that. And like you said before in a past episode, it's lifelong learning. You never stop learning.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you've got your survival skills like that, the hunting, the foraging, building shelter, all of that kind of stuff. And then you've also got skills that are even more long-term than that that you can learn, like making candles and clothing. And
I kind of have this small obsession with making lye, because lye, it's super caustic, and it can be very dangerous, and it can totally mess you up. So, of course, I have a natural obsession with it.
Sure, why not?
But that's, I don't know, something about lye and how it's this chemical reaction. You can make soap with it. You can degrade things with it. There's tons of uses for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so skills like that, too. And you just start stacking those skills. You learn one, you practice it. You start learning another, you practice it. Start stacking all these skills. You know, before you know it, you know how to do quite a few things.
Before you know it, you're a full stack developer in real life.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like, I learned how to tan hides. I don't have any real plans of making my own clothing out of hides or you know, having to go without shoes and have to make myself some moccasins. Like in today's day and age, that's not a very likely outcome. But, you know, some of those skills, you just learn it because they're fun.
It is fun.
So I've tanned hides and...
Well, and all of these things, like, fit into trade and barter very well, and will be highly valuable in a post-SHTF world, which we're kind of maybe heading to as far as people starting to opt out of the system because the system is just going so insane. So there seems to be a movement where people are banding together in these grassroots communities, and they're starting to trade within these communities, and we're seeing this formation of people going off-grid and multifamily off-grid homesteads. And these people reach out to other multifamily off-grid homesteads, and it's becoming a network of communities that are discreet, trying to stay off the radar.
Yeah.
And these communities are trading with each other and building the opt-out plan because just of how insane the world is going.
Yeah, we've kind of touched on this before, but there's a website called freedomcells.org, and its sole purpose is to help you connect with people locally who are trying to opt out. And it's like the last 6 months, it has grown like crazy.
Yeah.
So many people flooding into that website, and you see the comments, and the comments are like, hey, I'm planning on moving to New Mexico. Is anybody out there? Is there any land out there? And people are talking about all that stuff and joining communities and buying land together. And yeah, it's growing fast.
Freedomcells.org.
Yeah.
Check it out. There's another pretty good one. It's ic.org. Letter I, letter C.org. And it is I think it stands for inter-communities, which is a directory of people that are accepting other people onto their land or property for the sake of homesteading and building communities. So if you're not...
What?
IC.org.
IC.org. Okay. I haven't heard of that one. I want to check that out.
Yeah. It seems very interesting. I haven't delved too deep into it. But if you're someone who doesn't have land and you maybe want to trade being maybe a ranch hand or helping build things or helping, you know, property owners build these homesteads, they'll allow you on your property in exchange for work kind of thing. You have to contribute, of course.
Yeah, that's a great way to have a real life use for your pioneer skills that you're learning. You can, you know, that's a barter for living on some other property with a group of people.
Exactly. So to rattle off some pioneer skills ideas, you've got, and we kind of went over, the hunting, trapping, tracking, being able to feed yourself, tanning hides, field dressing, butchering, preserving your meats, smoking, dehydrating, salting, that kind of thing.
These are all skills that started in a primitive form. And of course, as technology has progressed, we've improved on all those skills. But if you want to learn the raw primitive skills for that stuff, it's not hard to find information on how to do all of that stuff primitively.
Yeah. And it's good to know, because what happens if you run out of ammo? What happens if we're in a super long-term situation and you don't have access to modern methods of obtaining food? You're going to need to fall back on these skills. Another huge one that I'm embarking upon is the gardening. I'm going to become the crazy plant lady.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So I've been selling heirloom seeds online for about 6 months now. It's been quite a popular adventure, and I'm evolving into selling seedlings and also to growing the full mature produce so we have food. And then any extra I plan to sell at a farmer's market. And it's going to be quite a big operation. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, gardening is excellent. You know, that's one of the most valuable skills.
It is, and it's tricky. It's, you know, it's art and science. You kind of have to listen to your plants and get feedback from them and research about them. So it can be very rewarding, but also very, it can be a struggle as well. Because it seems like everything wants to take out your garden.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those skills that you want to say to yourself, well, if you know, if anything goes terribly wrong, I'll just grow food. And you know, if you've never done it, that's a terrible plan.
Well, when you have epic failures, you'll quickly learn it doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah, that's right. You're rarely highly successful on your first attempt at gardening. Like your first attempt is usually a flop.
And mine was, definitely. When we were gardening in South Texas, it was an epic fail. Really, because we came across a pest we've never heard of. The leafcutter ants. Oh, my God. Absolute destruction.
Right. Sometimes a garden will fail and there was nothing you could have done about it anyway.
Oh, yeah. Even if you did everything perfect. It got wiped out and, you know, it could be floods, droughts, hail, wind. It's like everything, the odds are against you in gardening, really. You kind of have to prepare for everything and anything. Gophers. If you're in California, the gopher battle is real.
Right. It's real in a lot of places, yeah.
Yeah. The nuclear gophers here, they've evolved into being, I don't know, mega gophers. And they're just annihilating everybody's yards and gardens. It's quite crazy. So even in the most ideal of growing conditions, you know, because California is just so ideal, you're still coming up against a battle.
We had a really bad year, a really bad growing season about 7 or 8 years ago, where the only thing we got out of our garden was like peppers and tomatillo. Everything else didn't survive. But what was interesting about that year, What was really interesting about that year was everyone's garden just did terribly. But nature thrived that year. Like, the foraging was incredible.
Wow.
So even though our garden failed because we knew how to forage, we were foraging things that we had never seen in our area before. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was really cool. So learn to forage along with gardening.
Yeah, maybe that's, definitely have your backup plans. Holy moly. Do not rely on your garden to feed you. You know, have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's say you have a great year of gardening, you better be prepared to preserve that food that you've grown.
Right.
Canning, dehydrating, freeze-drying, a lot of things like potatoes, yams, you can kind of harden them and they'll last for months. Grow things that will last a long time. Have a food cellar, things like that. Mm-hmm. Be prepared for the bounty and what you can't store and eat. Be prepared to sell it.
Yeah, sell it, trade it, whatever. You know, there are tons of... We didn't mention leathercraft as a pioneer skill, but that's super handy.
I love it. Who doesn't love leather?
Right. And it's not as hard as it looks.
No?
No. Well, if you're not terribly concerned with something fashion. Looking like a leather craftsman did it, you know, like I decided years ago I was going to learn how to make my own knives, so I did that. And when I made the knife, I thought, well, I need to learn how to make a sheath. So I learned how to do that. And I've still got the same knife and the sheath.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, the sheath looks like someone who is not a professional leather crafter made it. It doesn't look like a professional did it. But it's held up. Actually, you know what? Yeah. I think I made another one. I've made two sheaths for that knife. But it's one of those skills that once you know how to... You know, once you know how to do it, you know.
Exactly. Well, and you can get into smithing and ironworking and blacksmithing and you know, that's all super badass.
Right.
Yeah, we like to watch a show called Forged in Fire. And some of the challenges, they have to use like a charcoal forge. And pound everything out by hand. No power pounders, whatever they're called, power hammers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the real deal right there, man. When you're forging by hand.
Right.
Holy moly, it's pretty exciting to watch that show. Have you watched it?
I have seen it. Yeah, I don't. It's not a show I watch all the time, but I know the show you're talking about. And I've actually thought a couple of times.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a local group here, like a blacksmithing group that meets and, you know, there's like, they have like these classes and they'll classify you as like a journeyman or a master and all this. And I've thought a number of times I might join that organization just to learn that really for fun. Yeah. Blacksmithing would be a great skill to know.
And what's cool about blacksmithing is you can use so much scrap to make cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use the leaf springs out of an old truck. You can use metal table legs. Just the randomest stuff.
Right. And scrap iron is everywhere nowadays.
It's everywhere. There will be, after an SHTF, even if we stop making everything, you would have scrap metal for hundreds of years. So that's a really cool pioneer skill to have. Very desirable. Of course, you know, moonshine making, like what you do.
Yeah.
Massively valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Growing pot, I think, would be, you know, that might be a little bit more modern than the pioneer skills. But, you know, the natives were chiefing. Natives were chiefing all the time.
Right.
You don't have to have a fancy indoor grow. Just grow your pot outdoors like nature intended.
Yeah. And consider, again... When it goes back to your planning, consider the things that tie into each other too. So if your plan is I'm going to move off grid and I'm going to raise beef, that's one of the things I'm going to do. Well, then there should be no reason you shouldn't learn how to do leather work, right? Because it goes with that other skill of raising beef. Or if you're one of your plans is to raise bees for honey, well, then you should learn how to make beeswax candles or something like that.
Heck yeah.
You know, combine your, make your work do double duty, you know, plan that out in your ahead of time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And, you know, there are some skills you can learn that are, it's just fun to learn, and you know that it's never really going to be all that useful, you know, but there's nothing wrong with it. Like
you never know.
Yeah. So like I practiced knife throwing for a long time just for fun. Like the odds of me ever needing to really throw a knife are pretty slim.
Yeah.
But it was a fun skill to learn.
I'm pretty good at knife throwing. It is fun.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at knife throwing, believe it or not. I beat the boys usually.
Yeah, I would say I'm fair. You would probably beat me if you classify yourself as good at knife throwing.
I probably would. If I were to actually just practice just a little bit more, which I can now that we have the ranch, I could probably be a really badass knife thrower, to be honest. It's like a little secret skill I have that I didn't even know I had until we started doing competitions on the 4th of July. And I beat the boys all the time. It's awesome.
Nice.
I put them in their place.
Nice.
Well, and then there's the mountain man rendezvous. As far as social meeting for learning pioneer skills. And
yeah.
Typically, it's just a bunch of guys dressing up in buckskins and shooting black powder guns and stuff. But you can learn a lot, depending on the group in your area, how devoted they are.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. And then there's the SEA, which is, it's a more, they go a little bit more medieval. The Society for Creative Anarchism, the Society for Creative Anarchism.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
SCA, I don't know. It's SCA.org, and people reenact. You have to go from the 16th century and past, so you can choose. If you want to be a Viking, a gypsy, medieval, renaissance, and then people get together and reenact, and it's like this huge thing.
That'd be fun.
But you can learn a lot. Yeah. They have the, like, three branches. There's the arts and music branch, the science branch, the heraldry branch. There's a lot more, I think, too. And they get together once a week, and you can learn how to make clothes, and you can learn how to just do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so you could join YouTube University, get all the information you
could
there.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
And then alongside of that plan, join some local group where you get to do hands-on learning with people that already know the skills. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And they're not so much into the survival pioneer stuff, but there's actually some pretty cool skills to be learned within those groups.
Yeah, those skills are going to translate for sure.
And then there's the whole building side of pioneer skills.
Yeah. Like we talked about earlier, when these people got to where they were going, they had to build everything they wanted, a house, a chicken coop, a outhouse, whatever. They had to be able to fell the trees, debark them, plank them, make their own lumber, you know. Those are not skills to discount.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was telling me how he's come up with a recipe to make concrete out of limestone. You know, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I want to work on my adobe brick building project, just using what I have right on the property, making adobe and cob structures.
Right on.
Yeah, and then you're good at carpentry. That's a massive skill. Like, I couldn't... you wouldn't want me to build you anything. Well, my shit would be so wonky.
Carpentry's like any other skill, you know. It's just the more you do it, the better you get at it. Carpentry's no different than knife throwing, you know, or any other skill. You've got to dig into the information and learn and practice.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot, you could learn to make pottery, dishes, bowls, cups. I mean, it's endless.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture making, furniture would be huge. Could you imagine being a furniture making in a post-apocalyptic world?
Right.
That'd be kind of interesting. Coffee, tobacco. It's pretty much endless. It's just really picking what you would enjoy and expanding on it.
Yeah. What would you like to do that also fits in with whatever your plans are?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd love to hear your ideas of your pioneer skills. What pioneer skills do you have? Did we miss anything? I know we probably have.
Oh, sure. Oh my gosh, there's tons of them.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear what you all do for your pioneer skills or what you would like to learn. On a final note, I do want to mention, and I've been kind of preaching this message for a while, but having printed out books of skill building. So if for some reason we lose access to the internet, you mm-hmm. have the book so you can learn the skills on the fly.
Right. Hard copy.
It takes way much pressure off of you. It's like super valuable. Cool. Well, if you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it on whatever platform you're listening on. It helps us get found in the algorithms. You can email us at cyrus@theoffgridoutpost.com or regina@theoffgridoutpost.com. And don't forget to visit theoffgridoutpost.com. We've got free PDFs. We've got all of our episodes archived, articles, ebooks that we've written. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Help support the channel.
Sign up for the newsletter. Goes out every week. Cool shit in it.
That was like such a dude way to explain our newsletter.
Cool shit in it.
There's cool shit. Sign up right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the newsletter kind of coincides with the episodes we release, so we expand on topics a little bit. Yeah. So join up, be a part of the Off-Grid Outpost movement. We're kind of starting a movement slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Well, until next time.
We'll talk to you later.
Later.
Here's a little teaser for what's coming next week. The other problem with a state-sanctioned system is if you only have one place to go to get your justice, that leaves the door wide open for that system to be corruptible. If I can bribe a judge, it's easy to corrupt that kind of system because there are no choices in that system. Thanks for listening to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe so you can get all the new episodes.